Hi, everyone, and welcome to Gentle Healing Year 3. This is our first week after doing Year 3 homework. And most of you, I think, have been posting in the forum, and I've been reading your posts. I think I've probably read at least 95% of them. Over the weekend when I was with family, it was a little harder to keep up, so I may have missed a few over the weekend. But what I've done is I've put an hour in my calendar every day that I call tea time. And that's when I sit back with a cup of tea and I read your posts. And it's in the afternoon because most of you then will have your posts already in. When I read your post, what I do is I like it. So if you see that Regina liked your post, that's not actually a judgment. It doesn't mean good post. And when I don't like it, it doesn't mean bad post. In my particular case, like means I read it. So if I don't like one of your posts one day, that doesn't mean, oh my God, that was an awful post. It means I didn't read it. So you can tell whether I have read your posts or not simply by whether I've liked them or not. And like I said, I think I probably read about 95% of them over the weekend, but I didn't get to all of them. So you may have a couple, some of you, not even all of you, some of you may have a couple that aren't liked, and that means I didn't read that. And that's all that means. But I am making it kind of my goal to do as well as I can at reading everyone's posts. So tonight I have some things to ask you. I have some things to share. And so again, I guess we'll just jump right in. The first thing that I want to hear from you, I just kind of want to hear how you feel this first week went for you. Not really asking at right now for spiritual insight. This is just a little more mechanical, like how long is it taking you to contemplate? How do you feel about the contemplation? Do you find it easy, difficult, enjoyable, not enjoyable? You know, that kind of stuff. So who would like to start by telling me about their experience? Okay, I think I saw Jay's hand. So Jay, go ahead.
For me, I was really excited and still am to get going on the actual daily contemplations, partly because I'm just excited to use the forum. but like in terms of the practice, I've been wanting to go through the seven steps for like 4 years. So when I heard that you were going to eventually have this, I was just excited. So I love sitting down. I love reading very slowly. I love the writing. I spend about a half hour very slowly contemplating and writing for contemplation, sometimes up to 45 minutes. And another half hour meditating, and then I write into the forum. And then I also realized I had, from 4 years ago, the beginning of a Seven Steps WordPress blog. So I've been posting over into my WordPress blog every day as well, the same quotes. Because I had the thought that I'd like to do more conversations with people, but I'm not sure if I want to do that on my thread here, just because it would seem to add a lot more to it. But I mean, in a mechanical way, that's a comment. I'm just, my ego is, I don't want to go into the ego stuff, but I'm just really excited. So end of story. Give me that mic.
Thank you, Jay. So who else would like to share about their experience? All right, George.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, I've got a new webcam here, so just got it working. I'm kind of like Jay. I've really enjoyed this week, and I too have been wanting to go through the Seven Steps Journal. I would say 30 to 45 minutes, sometimes a little more. So it seems that it could just be my impression, but it seems like I'm spending less time. I'm not sure that I am, but for some reason, it seems a little easier. That's it.
All right, thank you. And Tony.
All right, I had to take a second to unmute the mic. I have been very excited also to start the new Gentle Healing, and I'm trying to get into a groove of how I'm actually going to work this. And I think because I do the majority of my practice before I go to work, so I really don't want to cut into my my meditation time. So and what I'm finding seems like it's starting to work in this direction is that during the week, Monday through Friday, I probably will look at all four quotes together and write something. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, when I have more time, to spend more time with each individual quote to be able to write something or be able to feel inspired and listen to spirit more and write more. But I don't have enough time to do that, I don't think, through the week. So actually, one of the things I've been, Francine and I have been working in a dyad for over a year now, and we've agreed that we are going to stop the dyad for now so that we can spend more time in working in meditation, contemplation, and working with the seven steps. So it was so funny because she had mentioned it to me, and I said, that's so strange because I was actually going to say the same thing to you. So it really worked out quite nice. So yeah, I am enjoying it a lot. I'm dropping the mic.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it sounds like it was probably a prompt since you both felt it. Malcolm.
No, it's been really smooth. The first day was a little hitchy, just getting the practice down, but then it just really smoothed out, and now it's even just in a few days become a practice. It's like that's the first thing I do, read the quotes. Sometimes I record them and listen to them playback. And then sometimes I meditate and then do the contemplation, or sometimes it just comes right after I listen. It's smooth. So all's well here.
All right, good. Thank you for sharing. Is there anyone? Oh, Francine, yes.
I like it very much. I didn't contemplate a lot last year. I skipped that a lot and I did more meditation, and I feel like I've got this in the way here. I'm trying to get, okay. But the way it's structured this year with a journal, it just works a lot better. And I like the journal idea. I never really wrote with, hand wrote things before when I contemplated, because my handwriting, I can't even read it afterwards. So I've always like typed it up. So now having a place to type it, it's it just makes it very, very nice. And some days it goes pretty well, and some other days it's like pulling teeth trying to get the information out of me. And it's part of it is because I haven't practiced enough. But also being a perfectionist, wanting to have it like looking perfectly, but I'm getting over that now when I try to do it that way. like certain sentences, I felt it was spirit guiding me. Other sentences, I felt it was coming intellectually. So I was judging everything. And it was frustrating and it was taking a long time. And I did talk to Regina about it. And she says, don't erase anything. I said, okay. Now, my ego didn't like that very much, but I'm very happy to do that. It's so much more manageable. And so I don't have the ego involved. It doesn't have to be perfect. The way it comes out is the way it comes out. And that's what it's supposed to be. So yeah, I'm happy.
And your writing today was very good. So it worked for you. So thank you for taking my advice. It was funny. I was with her. We were at dinner last night when I asked her to stop, you know, crossing stuff out. And the face she made, it was like I was torturing her by asking her not to do that. But yeah, it worked out just fine today.
It felt like a torture. But at the same time, there was something in me that felt really good about that. So
thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Lynn.
Hi. Last year I contemplated very little, maybe in the beginning. And this year I find that with the forum, like everybody's saying, it seems to have a rhythm, even though in the beginning I had questions and I still have, and I'm going to be working with Aggie tomorrow because a lot of the verbiage like topic and things and reply to post, I thought the reply to post was when I come back in at a later date, later time on that same post. So there's a lot of things that I didn't quite get right away, and I'm starting to get it better now. But I thought maybe it would, I don't know how many other people are feeling this way, but when you went over everything and even reading it, it was all new. And so I didn't know what you were talking about. Now that we know where everything is and the words, what they mean more or less, I think it would be good to go over it again. But maybe just for me, tomorrow with Aggie will be enough. So I just wanted to say I'm really enjoying it, most of it. And I was wondering, could you tell us where we find your posts again? I found it yesterday. I couldn't find it today. I found your audios, but I couldn't find the ones you typed out.
Okay, sure. I'll show you that right now. Also, just a maybe word of warning. I don't even know for sure if I need to give you the warning. I don't know if Aggie knows how I asked you guys to do this. You know, like I asked you to do something very specific, which was create one topic and then continue to reply to your own topic. She wasn't here for that. She might not know that, and that's not exactly standard. So I'm hoping talking to Aggie doesn't confuse you. Because what I want, I do want you guys to always go back into the same topic every time and just reply to your own over and over. And that's not usually how these discussion forums go. So
going to the same place every time.
You go to the same place every time and just post reply every time. And that way I have, you know, one Lynn journal to look at and one Francine journal to look at and one Cheryl journal. And I can look at continuity. And if I want to go back and look at an earlier post and see what you said there, I can do that. So it's kind of like you're writing a book for me, mm-hmm. right? And I want it all in one long book. So each of you have already created a topic. That's what you did and you named it. Now you just go back into your topic and you just post a reply. Abigail, I think you're the only one that has multiple, and maybe someone can help you to get one. But I think everybody else has one now. Jay helped Lynn to get one. Jay, I don't know if you want to get with Abigail and help her.
Yeah, I just noticed Abigail had multiple. I don't know if Abigail's here, but you can.
Yeah, Abigail, can you like go like this so he can see you?
Yeah, where's Abigail?
So maybe Jay can get with Abigail and help her, but I think everybody else is doing it fine. So that's good. And also, we are going to ask Aggie to lead another training class. We'll see if she says yes to that, and if so, we might do it next Wednesday night. But we need to ask her and see if she's willing to do that. I'm in retreat next week, so I can't do that. I'm leading a retreat here. But let me share my screen and let me show you how to get to my journal if you want to. So I am going to, of course, go to read the AT discussion forum. I'm going to log in. There it is. Click the icon for a little extra login. And then come down to Gentle Healing Group for 3. At the very, very top, what you will always find is Welcome to Gentle Healing Year 3. If you go into that particular topic, right here you'll find a link. It's going to always be at the top. It's Regina's 7 Steps Journal. And you just click on that, and that will take you to my journal. And the way my journal is organized is you'll notice step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. I'm currently contemplating step 5. And then the numbers. So like right now you guys are in step 1, number 1 to 25. So you would just click 1 to 25 if you wanted to look and see what I wrote on a particular day. Find the quote you're interested in, like if you're interested in quote 16, let's say, and you go to it. So again, let me just run through that one more time. Sorry, my computer's a little slow lately. So you go into the Welcome to Gentle Healing Year 3 post. And then right there, you'll find a link. And that's all there is to getting to my journal. And then again, you can find the appropriate quote by looking under the appropriate step. And I'll be done way before you guys get done. So they'll be there. All right. And I'll just leave that there for now, because we'll come back to it. Let me stop sharing my screen, though, so I can come back to you. And Lynn Castaldo.
Hi, everybody. Okay, I will admit that I found it a little challenging in the beginning, but the more I do it, the better or easier it seems. I have to click on home to get to your 3-year. I don't know if I'm doing something. It didn't seem like you had to do that, but that's the easiest way for me to find it. What I am finding is I'm probably going to have to write at night, and I was worried about doing that, so I was trying to go ahead, but it's too confusing. So I think I'll read them in the morning, but then I won't actually contemplate until at night.
Okay.
I had started the journal, I think, when you started it, and I found it very confusing. I didn't feel like I was getting much from the quotes, and I see that I had highlighted up to chapter 2, including chapter 2, and now it seems like it's speaking to me more, so that was a pleasant surprise, too. So I'll drop the mic.
Thank you very much. I guess I have another question I'd like to ask you guys now that we've kind of talked about. Oh, wait, Anne, did you want to share something before we move on? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick that I'm loving doing these. And I am stuck on quote 3. I cannot get off quote 3. I even wrote quote 4, and then the pen's like, no, we're back to quote 3. So it's wonderful to watch how my mind has a lot to say about it all the time. And I'm just trusting that when it is time to move to quote 4, I'll know. And it's apparently perfect because boy, you know, all kinds of resistance is coming up to how I'm doing this and if I'm doing it right or well or progressing and I'm falling behind and oh no, and oh my, and you know, so all manner of that. And apparently I'm to be on quote 3. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, thank you. And who knows, maybe you'll be in gentle healing year 3 for 5 years. That's fine. I started the 7 steps to awakening in either November or December of 2011. I started it on the plane on the way back from my first trip to India. And in fact, we were sitting on the tarmac for 3 hours waiting to take off. And that's when I started the journal. And I didn't start the online journal till January 15th, which is why if you notice, a lot of the first ones have a January 15th date. That's because I typed them all in on one day. And then after that, you can see the date that I contemplate it after you get past January 15th, because that date actually shows up on the post. And I am in step 5 now. That's 9 years later, right? 7 years later. No, 8 years later. I can't do math. 2019, 9 is 2011, 8 years later. So if it takes you 5 years to get through it, you're still ahead of me. Again, we're doing the 4 quotes a day as a pace. One thing that will most likely happen to everybody at some point is there'll be a day or possibly even a week when you can't get to it, you know? That's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about tonight. So let me go ahead and do that. If you have a day where you can't get to it, or you have a week where you can't get to it, you're on family vacation or something like that, and you can't do it, you really have a couple of choices, and it's completely up to you which choice you follow. Okay, I can think of 3 choices. One is you could do 5 or 6 quotes a day until you catch up, right? That's one possibility. Another possibility is you just stay behind, you just stay behind and you'll finish when you finish. That's fine too. And another possibility is just forget about the ones you didn't do and start with whatever we're on today. Just skip them. Any of those are okay with me. So what you want to do is whatever feels right for you. What I don't want, okay, you guys listening? What I don't want is anyone feeling pressure to keep up the pace. Okay? That's what I don't want. Again, if you miss a few days and you just want to start where we're at and forget those 9 quotes that you missed, then that's what I want you to do too. These quotes are so repetitive in their nature that kind of thing is not really going to hurt. But again, you could also do 6 quotes a day till you catch up, or you could just stay behind, you know. But I don't want anybody feeling pressure to keep up. That's really important to me, okay? This isn't about pressure, right? This is about communing with our inner self and having insights and realizations. And that's not going to happen with homework pressure. Speaking of insights, does anybody have any insights from their first week that they would like to share? Okay, Cheryl.
You know, it's interesting. I'm so glad you said that, Regina, because I actually just received my book yesterday, and they said it was going to come in the mail on Friday, and then I just thought, you know, it is what it is. And, of course, I have plenty of stuff to do. And, but I felt prompted to start doing the Thoughts of Awakening meditations again. So I did, I just got this prompt because I listened to Anne's meditation that she had forwarded to me from her Facebook, which, oh my God, I loved it. And then I forwarded it to a few friends who actually called me and asked for my suggestions on how to start meditating. And I was like, what? You know, because it was out of the blue that someone had actually called me. But anyway, I don't want to get off the track. The whole point of me saying that I had an insight, my insight was to start, and I listened to today's first meditation with Karen Worth. It was beautiful. It was really beautiful, and I just encourage anyone, if you know, because this is my way of getting my hour and a half of meditation in. I'll listen to an hour of meditation. I'll do an hour of meditation, and then I'll listen to another half hour of meditation. And anyway, I'm just, that's my insight. So I will do what I feel is guided. I will ask for guidance on exactly how I am to start.
Okay,
I am excited about being involved and doing the forum and contemplating. I'm definitely, it's just that right now my focus is preparing for the retreat. So, all right. Thanks.
Thank you. Someone else have an insight they would like to share from the first week? All right, Dawn.
One of the things that came was that concepts themselves are almost like these clouds, and that they, concepts themselves are bliss blockers. This word bliss blocker just came right into my mind. I was like, oh, I never heard that before, but it sounds so appropriate. And then I kept like, what came in for me is like, every time I noticed a thought, I noticed the natural tendency was to like automatically believe it. But I was like, and I would trace it back and I was like, almost like, when did this believing mechanism, like it is a mechanism, this believing thing that happens automatically in my mind. And I remembered, you know, growing up in church, it was like, you're frowned upon if you don't believe in God. So even at a very, very young age, that believing mechanism just, it's there. And I could just see it. And that's where I'm like, okay, this is where I need to see that. And each time it's coming up, just relinquish it and realize that the concepts, no matter how fluffy and pretty and nice and wonderful they are, they're still bliss blockers. So
thank you. Do we have any other insights that want to be shared? All right, Jay.
This was after quote 5. It was talking about guarding the mind with constant vigilance and stuff like that. This was a contemplation. Remember that happiness lies in the middle way, either pursuing and grasping for desires or avoiding people or tasks that seem to be not wanted by the mind. Practice active willingness to let go, motivated by the love of the moment over the notion or desire. Do not ponder or delay, for that is where the web further ensnares you. And that sort of immediacy of action was the greatest realization I had this week, was how important it is to, you know, the concepts can get in the way of just practice. I mean, that's what these quotes are repeatedly talking about, but just the immediacy to just act, to be present, to practice, you know, don't think about your thinking. You just, you know, be with it. I mean, I think Jacqueline said it really well about, I don't remember what her exact words were, but something about, it was a practice of the active thought of now. I mean, you're just there, you're mindful, you're vigilant. And there's just a whole increase in willingness that I'm seeing occur right now. And my mind told me today, just as I was getting ready for the day, this is impossible what you were trying to do. That's what my mind said to me today. No, it's not. Wait a minute. That's not. Don't tell me that. That's depressing. No, so it was interesting that the bliss blockers, as Dawn is talking about, are coming up too. So I think it says my commitment increases and willingness increases. Also, the ego throws out. At least it seems that way. I don't know if anyone else is experiencing that, but it seems to go hand in hand, like the ego has more to say if your commitment starts to increase. So just throwing that out there. Yeah.
Thank you. And you know, you just talked about what you heard this morning about you're never going to accomplish this, something like that. That led me, one of the quotes I wanted to review with you guys happens to be apparently Anne's favorite quote, quote number 3. I don't know if you have your books handy. If you do, you can read along with me if you like, quote number 3. When knowledge, marred by doubt and error, disappears in true awareness, clear and pure, one thus established firmly in self-being, free from falsehood, has crossed over to the further shore of the river of knowledge. And one of the applicabilities of this quote, this I'm going to use a specific interpretation that goes to what we're doing here. When these ideas come up in your mind, that you can't do this, that you're not hearing inspiration or Holy Spirit, nothing's going to come today, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's when you want to question that doubt that's appearing in your mind using the self-inquiry that we learned in the teachings of Inner Ramana. You know, ask, what's saying this? What sees this? And allow that doubt to disappear into awareness, clear and pure. In other words, beware of believing your own doubt thoughts. Right? Those doubt thoughts will show up, I absolutely promise you. And they have a purpose. And their purpose is to get you to quit trying. So this quote, although this quote has a deeper meaning as well, but this quote right here is very applicable to what we're doing, attempting to contemplate every morning. I think that I probably contemplated and wrote with spirit for at least 5 years before I could start doing it without any doubt at all showing up. It was a long time. So you can expect doubt. And you can expect it to try and stop you in your tracks, and you just want to look at it and notice that that doubt is coming from the mind. That doubt is coming from thought. That doubt is coming from ego, right? You want to see that. You want to notice that you are awareness pure. Allow that doubt to disappear, and then just continue on with what you're doing. Yes, Cheryl.
Well, I don't know about you, Regina, or anyone else, but I like to start from the beginning of a book. And I was reading the introduction, and there's very simple instructions. And one of the biggest things that came out to me is the imposter self is thought. Yes. So that's all I have to remember. That's it. I mean, it's so simple. The imposter self is thought. I don't have to have any, all these other words added to complicate things, because that's what I'm an expert at. We're all experts at complicating things. And then the next page of the introduction, you know, it just says simple things like self-honesty becomes intense. And suddenly you see the significance of the quotes that the false self never allowed you to see before. So, and, you know, this is what I think is happening. It's like, you know, you're looking at this and you're reading it and you're trying to intellectualize it. Forget that. Because we know we can't do that. We can't get what this wisdom is by intellectualizing it. There was one more thing. I think it was toward the end of, how to read the quotes. And I am actually probably going to write that on a piece of paper when I start journaling, even though I know I'm supposed to put it on in the forum. But I'm going to actually write this down for myself to look at. What would I have to do to put this purpose into practice? That's a question. It says after you read a quote, ask yourself these two questions. What is the purpose of this quote? A. And B, what would I have to do to put this purpose into practice? And then the other thing that, the very top of it is how to read the quotes. It says to read the quotes very slowly and then read every quote at least 3 times before going on to the next quote. So this is so important for me to know. It's simple. It's simple instructions, and it's going to help me not get frustrated into thinking that, you know, there's a better way to do it. I'm not doing it good enough. You know, all that good, not good enough stuff that will come up. All right. That's all. That's all I wanted to share is I suggest we start from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And we did read the introduction, but that was a wonderful review of the introduction. Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Sure. We started at the beginning. We spent 2 days on the introduction before we started contemplating quotes. Yeah. So, but that was a wonderful review for all of us. And in fact, that's one of the things I also wanted to talk about was your daily bread. When you do contemplate the quotes, make sure there's some type of daily bread that you get out of that, out of the quotes. You know, and the way Michael Langford words that in the instructions is, you know, how can I turn this into a practice? But make sure you have some type of a daily bread, something that you're going to either practice or contemplate throughout the day. I think it was George, of course, he was only confessing what we all confess. But I think, now, of course, I read all your journals. So I may occasionally get you guys mixed up. But George, wasn't it you that confessed that sometimes you write and then you walk away and don't think about it all day? I'm guessing George isn't the only one, right? So that's one of the habits we want to get out of, is sitting there and having this wonderful contemplative experience for 45 minutes in the morning and then walking away and forgetting about it all day. So make sure you extract your daily bread and keep your daily bread with you all day. You know, nibble on that bread all day, whether that's something you're contemplating deeper, whether it's a practice you're going to practice throughout the day that day. It's by taking that daily bread and keeping it with you all day long. That's how you go one step at a time, closer and closer and closer to self-realization, right? So that was another one of the comments that I wanted to make tonight. I have some notes that I've taken as I was reading this week, so let me just run down these notes. A couple of different people commented on, in the introduction, Michael Langford said something about how 1 in a million people awaken. And, you know, and a couple of different people commented. One person, I think, even said, why try, you know. That isn't as bleak as it sounds. That isn't as bleak as it sounds. In fact, Jay, do you have a calculator nearby? Can you take 7.5 billion divided by 1 million and tell us what you get?
Yep. my calculator doesn't go that high.
yeah, mine doesn't either. That's why I asked you. Anybody got a scientific calculator?
Wait, what is this? You said 7.5 billion.
Billion divided by 1 million. Yeah.
7,500.
Yeah,
7,500 people. Now, that's actually on the planet at one time awake. That's actually quite a few people. You know, most people aren't even trying. But I want to tell you how this quote speaks to me. What this quote says to me is only 1 in a million people awaken to their true self because they don't try. That's what it says to me. I'll repeat that. Only 1 in a million people ever awaken to their true self. The reason only 1 in a million people ever awaken to their true self is because they don't try. I don't hear in that quote, it's so dang hard, you shouldn't even bother trying. What I hear is everybody else isn't trying, that's why they're not making it. And all you have to do is look around and see that's true. So what I hear in that quote is, if you want to be one of those 1 in a million, you need to dedicate yourself to this, you need to try. So it's the ego that's interpreting that, why even bother, right? That's the ego interpreting that. Actually, what that quote means is nobody else is bothering, but you can. Right, that's what that means. I already commented about if you miss a day or more, catch up in any way that makes you happy, including skipping to where we are. I just don't want you to feel any pressure. I want to comment about commenting on one another in the forum. First of all, as far as I'm concerned, that's perfectly okay. However, I don't want anyone ever, ever correcting someone else, right? I also don't want anyone ever, ever one-upping someone else. Like, oh, you know, well, that's what you got out of it. Well, I got this out of it. You know, like, I went deeper than you. If you choose to comment on somebody else's writing, the only type of comments I want are encouraging comments. You got that? If it's not encouraging, don't write it down. But certainly if somebody says something that inspires you, something that you think is a wonderful insight, you know, please feel free to tell them. But no comments at all that are not encouraging. Everybody okay with that? For those of you who teach in the sanctuary and teach from your journaling, most of you teach half an hour. I think Ann teaches an hour and Jacqueline teaches an hour. But most of you teach, and actually Jacqueline went back to year one, so she won't even be teaching this stuff. But because she's teaching a year one class now, and I told her just go there and have your head in that game. So most of you teach half an hour. You probably will not be able to cover your seven steps journal in half an hour. So if you happen to teach from your seven steps journal, what I want to recommend is that you just stick with inspiration and don't try to cram it all in. Because if you teach from inspiration when you're teaching in the sanctuary from your seven steps journal, you can actually even get more clarity than what you wrote, as long as you aren't trying to get all, how many quotes do we do in a week? All 28 quotes in, right? So feel free to just follow inspiration. Even if you talk for a whole half hour on one quote, that's great. But don't try to get all 28 quotes in a half hour teaching. I mean, look at that, 28 quotes, 30 minutes. How deep could you go, right? So keep that in mind. Meditation. You know, the last couple of years, we've had Karen Wirth recording meditations. In the first year, she was recording A Course in Miracles meditations. And then the second year, she was doing the Thoughts of Awakening meditations. She's not doing meditations this year. I still perceive meditation a very, 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 very important part of this process. In fact, I think that's been one of the primary themes of the quotes in the first week. It's not intellectual learning, it's meditation that counts. So I want to show you guys where you can go to get some meditations, to do your own meditations. I'll share my screen again. Let me go to the AT website. If you go to audios and videos, meditation audios, right here you'll find, of course, the Thoughts of Awakening. These are the Awareness Watching Awareness, Loving Consciousness, the Abandoned Release, the ACIM meditation, and then the devotional meditations. So feel free, if you want to come and use these meditations in order to do meditation. I personally use the Loving Conscious meditation. I start with a half hour Loving Consciousness every day. And then when it stops, when the audio stops, I meditate in silence after that. But I just wanted to let you know that there's lots and lots and lots of meditations here on the website. Feel free to use any that you want to use to help you with your meditation practice. I'm not assigning meditation anymore. I'm leaving everything to your inner teacher this year. But I know many of you are still going to want to do those meditations. So I wanted to show you where those were at. Another thing that I would like you all to be weary of, careful about, is comparing yourself to others. I mean, there's just nothing valuable in that at all. Zero. Whenever you compare yourself to others, some days you're going to be better and some days you're going to be the loser. You know, I mean, and there's just no value in that whatsoever. Feel free to read each other's journals if that's what you want to do. No one's required to read other people's journals. But feel free to read them if you want to. But just remember, every style is perfect. Right? Every style is perfect. Some of you write long things. Some of you write very, very brief, short things. In fact, again, I don't want you all to think George is my favorite or anything, but today what George wrote, he wrote, you know, he wrote a little bit above it, but he wrote four very short little sentences, and each one of them was perfect. I mean, I started to write clarity in a nutshell, but then I wasn't certain if he knew what I meant by nutshell, so I didn't write that. But, you know, four little bitty sentences, but they were perfect. I mean, he captured the essence of each of the quotes. And other people write longer things, and they're beautiful. Some people write poetic things. Helen recently, I don't know if it's today or yesterday, wrote this incredibly beautiful poetic thing, you know? But if you think yours are supposed to be poetic, or you think yours are supposed to be short, or you think yours are supposed to be longer, you're not going to be listening to inspiration. You're going to be trying to write in the way your ego is telling you it needs to be written, right? What I want you all to do is whatever is natural. Just whatever happens. I mean, that's how wisdom is going to come through. And if you think of a, you know, one of the things I love about Colorado, I love to go hiking and I love to get up above the tree line in the summertime where there's just all of these beautiful, beautiful wildflowers. I mean, just all different colors. And what do I love about that? All of these beautiful, beautiful wildflowers that are different and all different colors. That's what I like about it, right? And that's the way your writings are. They're all different. And that's exactly how they should be, right? So I want you guys just to let it be natural. Feel free to enjoy each other's writings if you choose to, but don't ever let that demon thought get in there that you should be writing like someone else. Everybody okay with that? Okay, Jay.
I had a certain sort of format that I was putting my daily posts in, and I did have a thought. Now I realize this was an inner thought. The thought was something like, don't get attached to this format, or it's not always going to be exactly like that, or something like that. And I sort of pushed it away, and I realized that was actually a thought I should have listened to, because I don't want to get stuck in some sort of routine of the way I think I have to post this, because that can just get me back to brain. So I'm gonna receive what you said about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, if anybody does pay attention to my journal, you'll notice that in the beginning I was much more kind of like you are, Jay, and that I kind of wrote, I didn't say purpose and practice, but like there's a paragraph about the purpose and there's a paragraph about the practice, and that I stick to that in the beginning. But you will start to notice as the journal goes on that it kind of loses that concise separation, right, of purpose and practice. However, there's always a daily bread, and I review my daily bread throughout the day, right? You know, I can tell you what my contemplations were this morning. I haven't forgotten. And the reason I haven't forgotten is because I reviewed them throughout the day. And sometimes what I find my posts are, is they're just what you would call self-motivating, right? We all, you know, one of the things we learned starting in Gentle Healing Year One is the most important key to awakening is this intense desire for liberation. Which means our desire for liberation, for truth, for awakening really needs to be increased all the time, increasing, increasing. So sometimes what I write as I'm contemplating is purely motivational, right? And I contemplate it all day and it increases my desire. And that's very, very important. So yeah, let your journals be what they're going to be, but do expect. You know, this is one expectation that's okay. Do expect a daily bread each day, whether it's a practice or whether it's something to contemplate. If you're not getting a daily bread out of it, well, kind of wasting your time, right? There should be something every day that you can take with you for that entire day, okay? And one of my favorite quotes from NTI is where... And I can't quote it exactly, but it's in NTI James, and it talks about being like the man who looks in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he saw. You know, and that's what happens again if we spend that half hour, 45 minutes in the morning contemplating, and then we walk away and we never look back at it. I mean, I'm certain that, you know, that when we do that, I could stop you at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and say, hey, what'd you write this morning? You'd be like, and you know, can't bring it back at all. I mean, it's just like the ego just wipes it away. It's erased, you know? But if you review it throughout the day, you may not be able to quote it for me, but you'll be able to give me the nutshell version, right? You'll be able to tell me what that was about. Let's see, I think we have 5 minutes left. I'm gonna go back in. There were a couple things I wanted to show you, so let me share my screen again. Just a couple things that people wrote, which I thought were kind of good advice for all of us as we're starting this journey together. Let's see it. See, these are the ones I haven't read. I've read just a couple, about an hour and a half ago, so these people have posted since I read an hour and a half ago. Here's Doreen's. I want to go into Doreen's, and I want to look at her. By the way, I loved your story, Doreen, although that's not what I'm going to right now, but I love that very much. I want to go to her third post. I wanted to look at her guidance. First of all, Doreen wrote, I realize that I am challenged by embracing the idea of desire for anything, including the desire for awakening. I hesitate writing this here because it almost sounds blasphemous. I have observed myself and others go through the motions of the steps, techniques designed for awakening, only to let that desire become. And then she says she's pausing because guidance speaks. So I want to share what guidance said. So again, Doreen's saying, I'm not so sure I have this desire for awakening, right? Here's what guidance says. What you are describing above and what you are hesitant to embrace is false desire. False desire is a clever technique of the imposter self. False desire comes with blind resistance to truly have what it claims to desire. True desire is present within you. It always has been. True desire is inherently intense desire. It has one purpose, and that is to know self. There is no such thing as an increase in true desire. It is beyond measurement. Now listen to this part. What can increase is your capacity to see and sense true desire and the courage to align with it. You do this by letting go of the obstacles that block you from truly seeing and stifle your courage. You are very aware of true desire. You can feel it and sense it. Yet you have been focused on false desire, not realizing its distinction from true desire. This is why you have been challenged. This too is a trick of the imposter self. So I wanted to share that because basically what this is saying is that your true desire is perfect. It is intense. It's basically the desire of consciousness to awaken to itself. It's not personal, right? It's the desire of consciousness to awaken to itself. All you really need to do is increase your awareness of true desire. And again, you do that by removing the blocks. So thank you, Doreen, for sharing that. I thought that was perfect for a lot of us at this point in time. Let's see. I'm going to jump over to Bev. I actually had three here. I don't know if I'll have time to read all three. But let's jump over to Bev if I can find her. I thought she was on page two. Maybe she's on page three.
Just to let you know, Regina, the pages always shift based on who posts.
Okay. Well, I mean, I thought she was on page three, like just before class started. I went and looked at these, so I'd know where to find them. Okay. I wanted to share Bev's number three. It's when we were reading the introduction. It's a contemplation of how to read the quotes. As you read these quotes, open your heart and hear what is being communicated to the hungriest part of your being. There is a part of you that needs no prompting or special invitation. Expose that part and let the symbols drop and drink of yourself. I thought that was just beautiful. In fact, I'm going to read it one more time. As you read these quotes, open your heart and hear what is being communicated to the hungriest part of your being. There is a part of you that needs no prompting or special invitation. Expose that part, let the symbols drop, and drink of yourself. And the third one that I was going to read was by Helen. Let me just peek at it really quickly. I'll abbreviate it. I think she was on page one when I peeked a little bit ago. Here she is, Helen. And this was number two, right here where she's talking about the guidance. I'll just skip to this part where she asks if the destination, meaning awakening, if it's unchanging, is the destination unchanging? And the guidance says, who wants to know? There is a moment when the caterpillar goes into its cocoon. It has no idea that when it emerges, it will be able to fly. To fly. But something drives it into its cocoon. Some longing. Some sense. It has to be destroyed. Do you think the caterpillar is thinking to itself, I want to be consciousness, love, bliss. So I have to get into a cocoon now, and then I will emerge as that. Or is it just following some deep inner calling? What would happen if the caterpillar said, a cocoon? Oh no, that isn't the path to consciousness, love, bliss. No one knows what their future holds or what will unfold as a result of following the longing. But the longing tells you that you are on the right path. It's like a thread that leads you back. So that's all I have to share for tonight. We'll continue on in the next week, just like we have been in this week. And I will see you all next Tuesday night. And I'll see some of you all next Monday at 10 a.m. when we start our natural meditation retreat here in La Vida. I'll see some of y'all then. All right. Good night, everyone.